Welcome to the Seedman Mentorship Podcast. This is your captain speaking. On this show, we navigate the voyage of life through the lens of Lakers, some who have just come aboard and others who are well underway. We will speak with experts who will show us the ropes, help us plot a course, and recount exhilarating tales of uncharted territory, all while promoting lifelong learning agility and a culture of mentorship.
Welcome to the Seedman Mentorship Podcast. I'm Jerry Cook. Today on the show, I'm welcoming my cohort in crime, my partner in crime, Shayla Bassett's with us today. Shayla is the program coordinator for the Seedman Mentorship Program. So, Shayla, I like to think of you, and I've said this before, so it's not just for the show. You hear me say this. You're the brains of the operation. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here.
It's exciting to have you. Today, Shayla and I are doing something a little bit different on the show. We are going to answer some of your questions. So these are questions that we either have received or we've heard over the span of the mentorship program. If you'd like to join the conversation or have a question answered or would like insight, feel free to email us at smp@gvsu.edu. And when we do another one of these, we may read your question on the air. You can also submit anonymous feedback if you'd like. We always enjoy having these conversations, reading these. So you can't see in the studio, but we don't have any producers. So what Shayla and I have done is taken all of the feedback that we've gotten and questions that we have, and we've created the bowl of mystery. Well, actually, it's not a bowl. We put a bunch of cards on the table, and the cards have questions, and we're going to draw them and ask each other the questions and then go through the answer in this, or our ideas of the answer, our opinions, in this episode we call Troubled Waters. Shayla, when does Troubled Waters... Let me clarify by saying a majority of our mentorships, things go great. We read reviews. We read feedback from our junior and senior students, and this year our mentees, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that process real quick?
Yeah. Genuinely, we don't hear a lot from our students unless they're having trouble. So when things are going great, that's great. When we don't hear stuff, we assume things are going great. So for the most part, the relationships, from what we hear, exceed expectations. They make great connections. They make good friends. They last for a while. But every so often, we get the email or the peer mentors, the juniors and seniors, are submitting reflections once a month. So in those, sometimes they'll come up with some questions on some trouble that they're having, and those are the ones that we're bringing up today to answer for anyone and everyone at any time.
Beautiful. Let's get started. Do you want to draw first, or do you want me to draw first, or do we flip a coin? What do we do? How do we start this?
Well, I think I'm just going to draw first and ask you first.
Go ahead.
All right.
Draw a card.
She card number
reaching into
two.
The bowl of mystery, i.e. the table.
All right, Jerry. What if my mentorship partner just wants to talk about life? I want a mentor.
So probably your mentor is me, because I love to talk about life. But I've said this before, and we see, and this is my observation, most mentorships, if you want to categorize them, are either task-based or platonic-based mentoring. The platonic-based mentoring is the person who wants to sit down and share. Mm-hmm. And tell stories. And if you're a task-based person, in other words, you came with a list of things I want to cover today. Shayla, I came today and I want to talk about my resume. I want to know what classes I should take in the fall. And I want to know how I get my roommate to do the dishes, because I'm really sick of that. Those are the three things today I want to talk about. By the way, I have a list of other things for the next meeting. Could you please get ready for it? And the platonic-based mentor is like, whoa. Like, I can't give you context for that until I know you. Mm-hmm. And we also say that mentoring, deep mentoring, the good stuff happens when you've earned the right to have that mm-hmm. relationship. So some of that is necessary. But if you're a task-based mentor or a platonic mentor, when you come to that first meeting, that's a good time to kind of talk about what do you want out of the mentoring relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if you go in and you're the mentee and you say, look, these are the things I want to cover, your mentor is going to be like, wow, that's great. But if you're a platonic based mentor, say, I would love to talk to you about those things, but first I need to get a little context because I'm overwhelmed with all the different experiences I may want to share with you, or all the advice I might want to share with you, or the myriad of university resources we have that I want to point you to find out what's going to work best for you. So sometimes it all comes down to, not sometimes, it always comes down to communication. And it comes down to, I'm going to use Shayla's watchword. I'm going to throw it right out there. Curiosity, right? And being curious about what the mentee is truly looking for. Also, I'll see a lot of times where both parties are nervous and they show up with an expectation like, oh man, I have to bring something. And I don't, I'm sick of talking about my resume, but this is a professional thing. So I'm going to bring my resume because that's what we do, right? That's what this is. No, it's your mentorship. You can do whatever you want. Within the confines of the law. But so if you are that task-based, and I see this the other side too, mentor. Mentor comes and says, well, mentee, I want you to read this book. And the next time we meet, we're going to talk about this book. And the mentee leaves and never comes back because they're like, I don't want to read books. So
yeah, I probably get enough of that in class.
Right. So maybe that's not your go-to, is better to have that curiosity. Shayla, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I would definitely agree. There's I think this often, this question would probably come more from the one being mentored, because for a peer mentor, you know, they may have a professional in the community that's, you know, in the workforce doing a job that they hope to have in the next 5 years or so. But what they may be looking for, resume help, LinkedIn help, job help, internship, all that kind of stuff. And that's great. But I do think as our, you know, business professional mentors, sometimes they come in hoping to offer advice, offer help, offer, you know, anything in the workforce. But some people are, they're more relational, or like you said, I very much agree with the idea that some people want to develop some type of relationship first. They want to get to know you. They want to understand you. And for some students, they may want to know that you are somebody they want advice from. So you kind of got to earn that place. So whoever's mentoring, it's great to be able to kind of shift your style based on what your mentee needs. And as the one being mentored, I mean, you can speak up. It's all about communication. Like you said, like, hey, I'm really interested. I'm having this life problem, or I'm, you know, I'd actually just love to get to know each other. Like, you can communicate that. So it can go, it can come from either side. It doesn't have to be one or the other either.
Yeah. And if you're not comfortable with this, with the sharing of that aspect, you can also draw those boundaries and say, I really would like to focus on this or that. And that's a social cue for the other person to pick up and be like, okay, you know, maybe we'll come back to that. But, and I'm sure I'm going to talk about this again because it's a theme, and I'd be surprised if it doesn't fit a lot of these situations, is you volunteer to do this thing, maybe be a little vulnerable. Now, there's a difference between vulnerability and oversharing, but they're, you know, coming and saying as the mentor, hey, mentee, I don't know, you know, how you're feeling, but one of the things that really bothered me was, and I'm going to pick on good old Mackinac Hall, making sure I could find my classes. And somebody told me that once the best thing to do is just walk your schedule before classes start, or where these buildings are and where these exits are. And that gives you a little comfort, real rehearsal before the first week of class, whatever. Or as the mentee come in and say, hey mentor, I feel really embarrassed saying this, but I'm kind of concerned about finding all my classes or making the bus schedule. Or whatever. So we're not deep sharing. This is not a big secret in my life, you know, and chances are the mentor and the mentee have the same, or have had the same experiences. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And nobody expects anyone to have all the answers.
Correct.
So that's not a space anybody has to come in with.
Right.
So that type of vulnerability. I don't know the answer. I loved it. Let's figure that out.
Yeah, let's figure it out.
That's great. All right. I've got a follow-up question for you.
Go ahead.
What if my mentor is quick to offer advice? So very similar.
And I was this mentor back in the early 2010s. And it had to do with my insecurity and vulnerability of being the mentor. Like, I'm supposed to provide.
Right.
Like, I'm supposed to be the person with the answers and the great stories and whatever. So I'm sitting there, and it's kind of like if you walked into Home Depot and I was a salesperson and you didn't tell me what project you're working on, and I'm like, Shayla, look, We got power saws. We got hand saws. Let me tell you a story about this. And we got hammers or whatever. And you have a plumbing project or whatever. And I'm not even getting there because mm-hmm. I'm not giving you the air. Mm-hmm. And I think the maturity comes when, if you're the first time and you're the pro mentor, and you come in and say, I've never done this before. I'm looking to learn. I'm mm-hmm. curious about what you want to do. And you may come to that conclusion that neither of you knows what to do from the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
Right? It's okay to communicate. And then your vulnerability is, I'm not sure where to start. Mm-hmm. We provide a handbook that actually goes through 6 meetings. Mm-hmm. If you like a pretest, a post-test, and talking points, it's right there on the mentorship website under the resources tab at the top. You click on that. It's developed by the Cook Leadership Academy here at Grand Valley. It's fantastic. And you have a guidebook if that's where you want to go. Or read the guidebook and take what you want out of it and throw the rest away.
Yeah.
What you think is important. But going in with that kind of game plan and being the mentor that's offering, quick to offer advice is probably just nervous. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that there are some mentors, and you get to the old people like me who just want to be heard. Yeah. And I want to feel that my life experience was important.
And you want to help.
And I want to share.
Yeah.
And now you as the mentee, you're actually helping the old mentor out.
Yeah.
Right? You're helping the mentor out because they just want to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. Nobody listens to my stories anymore. So sometimes you might need to recognize that. And, you know, thank you for sharing that. Can we talk about this? Or, you know, you can graciously say, I'll take that under consideration and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I like that. It's good to clarify. You've used two of my favorite words, which are communication and curiosity.
Shayla's 2 C's of mentorship. I'm picking the middle card.
All right.
Anything else from that?
I don't think so.
All right.
We'll probably cover it again.
I've drawn mm-hmm. your question. Oh, let's get right into it. Mm. What do I do if we don't get along?
Ooh, good question. Well, first off, kind of a fact of life, we just unfortunately don't always get along. And I can say this as a mother with children, they don't always get along, and it is tricky. But we all find ourselves in those situations, whether it's in a classroom or in the job arena. You will find people and rub shoulders with that you just don't click with. And nobody's asking anybody to be best friends for life. That's not what this is about. But we also all do need to have the skills to be able to be in relationship with people, regardless of, you know, whether we share, you know, the same enjoyment out of the same hobbies, or, you know, we have the same interests, or no matter where you slice it, finding a way to get along with people when you don't click is a good skill to have. So I'm going to use that word, my favorite way to approach things, in especially in relationship with anyone, is curiosity. I think it's really easy when you're not sure how to maybe go about a relationship, or you know, your conversation isn't clicking. You're not getting big responses out of each other. It can sometimes be easy to default to just talk about yourself. But I'd love to challenge people to like take off yourself hat and step into a place where you get really curious about your mentorship partner. Where'd you grow up? How many siblings did you have? Like, those are the easy, you know, the simple basic questions you can ask about someone. But then you can delve into that more. Like, are you close with any of your siblings? Oh, tell me, like, do you still see them? Tell me about your sister. Or, you know, board games. There's a wide gamut of board games, and you can have people who like board games, but they like very different board games. So that can create cool and interesting conversation, is just being curious.
I love it. Definitely on board with curiosity. I'll tell you, in corporate world, I dealt with hundreds of people that I didn't always get along. Mostly I didn't get along with. We call them customers. and they were difficult, and they had a right to be difficult.
Yeah.
So this is a life skill, no mm-hmm. doubt about it. But I'll tell you, back from my sales training, of the wise sales guru who sat upon the mountain in a Ferrari because he made that kind of money, I went to the wise guru and I said, wise guru, I too would like a Ferrari, but the customers won't listen to me. And he said, Jerry, the way people talk to you depends on how you listen to them. Mm-hmm. Oh, wise guru. And then he roared away in his Ferrari and money flew out the back. And it was amazing. But I found that despite my ability and my love of people, sometimes I couldn't change them. Mm-hmm. The only thing I could change the relationship was me. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of success with that. So it's a great strategy. The second one I'll point out, great strategy, is brought to us by my good friend, Professor Kevin Leonard, who's been on the show. For those of you who take marketing, he's the guy that wears the bow tie and talks about ethics and has awesome, one of the greatest offices with the most cool toys in it. And if you listen to my shows on connecting, networking, go, and you want a soft dry run, you want to go see a professor in an office, you've never done that, go see Kevin Leonard. Tell him I sent you. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you'll be pleased. Kevin's a big fan of recognizing, pausing, and restarting. He's actually done this in lectures. He'll stop a lecture, and he teaches lecture hall, like 90-100 students. And he'll be like, you know what? And he'll pantomime, or he'll grab his notes, he'll wad them up and throw them, and say, we're going to start over and do a hard reset. Mm. You know, at this age, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you are self-aware enough to know when this is either going. So if the water, if we're taking on water in the ship, don't keep sailing the ship. It's time to do something different or start bailing, right? Mm-hmm. So know yourself. Don't be afraid to restart. And how you listen to people will determine how they talk to you.
Great.
Follow-up question.
Okay.
What if they're flaky? What if they cancel or they no-show my meetings? What if they, as I, the kids today, coasting and ghosting? What if I get ghosted?
Yeah. That's definitely something that should be addressed.
In life, in general. This is not a mentorship thing. This is a life thing.
Absolutely. It definitely should be addressed because in along the mentorship space, you have both agreed to enter into this space. And it is a two-way street, it is a two-way relationship. But this does happen. And unfortunately, I mean, these are the things that we do hear about. We don't always get to hear about the great stuff, but we do hear when somebody's saying, hey, I can't get a hold of my mentorship partner. So I think the hard truth needs to be said sometimes. But we can also, like, the way we say it can make or break the remainder of a relationship. So, I mean, you can be honest. And there's the sandwich approach with, you know, talking to people about hard things, which is like, hey, I really value this relationship, or I'm really interested in getting to know you. I've had a really hard time because I'm not hearing back. Is there anything I can do, or is there anything you'd like to do? Just opening up that that conversation, but also sharing the feedback of, hey, I'm not hearing from you, or you keep canceling on me, and address it. Honestly, you can say, I want to invest in this, but I'm having a hard time. When you cancel our plans last minute, it makes me feel like you don't care. You could say, I'm experiencing you, or I'm concerned that there's a lack of reliability. So now I'm like feeling hesitant to reach out because I just want to get this thing going. Is there something I can do moving forward?
I love all that. And I'm going to put a cherry on top of that. Mm-hmm. And especially for pro mentors who are listening, and this happens once in a while to pro mentors, two things. Number one, you got to remember to meet the people where they're at. So if you're a pro mentor and you're like, oh, you know what? Wouldn't it be really great? I got tickets to the Griffins game tonight. I'm just going to call up my mentee and be like, hey, I got tickets to the Griffins game. Yes. Meet me at Van Andel Arena, you know, at 9:00. Well, it may be that your student has never been downtown Grand Rapids, never ridden the bus, maybe new to the area, never been to a hockey game, has social anxiety that's I don't do crowds. And you've just described their nightmare. But they're respectful. Oftentimes, so when Shayla and I get involved, so you call reinforcements, you say, hey, my mentorship partner is ghosting me. I would say 9 times out of 10, when we contact them, they're either saying, oh, I forgot a message, or now I'm embarrassed, and they shut down and therefore don't respond. Mm-hmm. They still want to be part of the relationship. So mm-hmm. meeting the students where they're at, and let me rephrase the conversation maybe in a better way, is saying, are you a fan of hockey? Have you been to downtown Grand Rapids? Do you know we have a pro hockey team, feeder team to the Wings? I love hockey. Loved it since I was a kid. Used to play, you know, left defense, blah, blah, blah. I got tickets. Would you be interested? Can you get downtown?
Yes.
Are you comfortable with this? You're like, whatever. For the mentor-mentee relationship for the peers, you juniors and seniors, make sure that you're selling this in a neutral, safe way. Mm-hmm. So in other words, if I'm a junior, senior, and I'm an alpha, beta, whoopity frat, and I'm like, hey, mentee.
I want to be a part of that frat.
Yeah. Hey, mentee, tonight at 10 o'clock over at the alpha, beta, whoopity house, you know, we're having a thing. Just show up.
Yeah.
You're inviting me into your space that I don't know. I don't have agency, or I'll be by your place to pick you up. Now I have to ride with you. So think through this. Mm-hmm. And a neutral aloofness, I find, is very attractive to mm-hmm. mentees. Hey, Shayla, I'm your mentor. Nice to meet you. I happen to have coffee at 9 o'clock in the morning every Tuesday and every Thursday down at Midnight Express, right down from Seatman. Mm-hmm. If you show up, if it works in your schedule, I'd love for you to come and have a coffee. That's it. Mm-hmm. It's on the Laker line. They can get there by themselves. They have agency. I have control of the situation. Most people like coffee or a drink or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then here's the beautiful part. As the mentor, I'm going to go have coffee anyway. So I win. I used to do this with prospecting for clients all the time. Yep, this is a thing that's in my life. And I was so aloof about it. People were attracted to the aloofness. Like, well, now I got to go.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and if they don't go, I still win.
Right.
I get to have coffee. I haven't interrupted my whole flow. And that ease is perceptible mm-hmm. in the human experience. You mm-hmm. hear it in the voice. As I'm saying it right now, I'm like, it's a brilliant
it's
idea.
It's great. Then there's no-show, and then there's no hurt feelings.
Yeah, you know, you're talking in there's so many ways to do this. Mm-hmm. So, but think about that. Think about the agency. Think about the comfort level. And especially pro mentors, don't just assume that the things that you do every day. Hey, Shayla, meet me at the, you know, alumni. Grand Valley's having an alumni meeting, which is a great thing to take your mentee to, by the mm-hmm. way. Make sure that they're okay with either getting there or that's the kind of scene that they want. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily network the way that you do mm-hmm. or start conversations the way you do. So that soft sell. You're a pro mentor. You can do it.
Yeah. You can even like flip it around the other way and say, you know, is there an event coming up that you need somebody to tag along with? Or
yeah.
Because sometimes that can be it too. Like, oh, I want to go to this thing. I know I was that way when I was younger.
Yeah.
I want to go to this thing, but I certainly don't want to go alone. Join them where they're at. That's great.
Yeah, you become, like partners, you know?
Yeah.
My first sales job, one of our pro mentors, he's out there, he's listening right now. We used to call each other partner because we had a terrible job where we did cold call sales.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes, like, you just go and so you could get rejected and somebody else was there to be like, yeah, that was brutal.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
Or whatever.
Right.
And so you're calling each other up at night. You're like, partner, I got an event. I got to talk about this thing or join me so we can tag team this event or come in. And that's a great way to learn.
Yeah, it is. Awesome. All right. Back to the hat
bold
slash
mystery.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going with number one. All right. Ooh, yes. This is a similar style, but it's a little more practical advice.
Okay.
Jerry, what do you do when your mentorship partner isn't responsive? So
you just ghost the program and you never talk to anybody. And then at the end of the year, you call Shayla or I and you're like, I don't know. This program wasn't for me because I didn't hear from anybody.
Yeah. And I mean, Jerry knows, like, there is such a sadness
we
feel.
We take it personally. We really do. I mean, Shayla and I spend a lot of time and we care. We really
do
care.
And it is so sad to get to the end of the year and there's a couple students that say, yeah, we didn't connect. I couldn't get a hold of them. And it's
they've never told us until the end of the year. Right.
And so, it's like in April, it's hard for us to do much about it.
Yeah. So this dovetails beautifully into what I just said. So mm-hmm. number one, make sure when you are making an offer that you are making an offer, not when you call your mentee. So this is junior seniors to freshmen, sophomores. Hey, Shayla, I'm your mentor. Do you want to get together? No, no, you probably don't. So come with something, offer something, sell something. Hey, Shayla, I'm your mentor. Welcome to Grand Valley. I remember it was just a short time ago I was doing this, and man, moving is brutal. The food is terrible. The food's actually okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, don't call food service and say that I said the food was terrible, especially me. I'm not saying that. I'm talking, playing a character right now. Yep. So give me a little leeway.
Student Jerry.
But whatever the things are, right? Have you been to the fitness center? Have you gone around the walking track? Whatever. What are you into? Whatever. Having that initial conversation and asking for the meeting, I'm going back to my sales training again. When you set one, get one. And when you get one, set the next one, right? So in other words, you know, the object of this program, Shayla, I'm your mentor. We're going to touch base twice a month. And then just don't ask the question, lead. You're the leader. The mentor, you're kind of the leader. I know we say the mentee's in driver's seat. We're going to talk about that later, I'm sure. You're kind of driving the deal to say, look, I prefer that we, you know, meet on campus once during the month and then maybe do a Zoom. And I want to do that Zoom on Wednesday, the third Wednesday of the month, whatever. Come with a concrete plan that the mentee knows, oh, I can do that. Or no, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I have classes on Wednesday or whatever. All right. Then come with your B plan. So come with three plans that make sense to you. You know, Tuesdays I do lawn cleanup at the Alpha Beta Whoopity House, you know. That happens to be next to Blue Connection. Let's have, you know, let's have a meal there or whatever. Let's Zoom. Let's phone call. Snapchat, text and stuff is great for informal communication, but it's not a mentoring meeting per se. Mm-hmm. I see that as an after thought. So think about how you ask. It's not just, well, what do you want to do? Because then you have two people who are standing on the other side of the room. You're supposed to hang out and nobody knows what to do. And then nothing happens. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Shayla's leaning forward into her mic. She wants to say something. I feel it. Go ahead.
I get this. We do get this question a bit. And the first thing we ask is, what methods have you tried?
Thank you.
To get into contact. So especially when you're looking at, you know, the pro mentor and the peer mentor, modes of contact has changed over time.
They can't see, but I'm gesticulating wildly.
Like, yes.
I'm pointing at my nose. I'm waving at the world. Yes.
Yes.
Hello.
Yep.
Yes.
So
this is a big one.
Often we'll get, you know, yeah, I emailed them and it's like, well, that's, I mean, great, great start. Keep it going. What other ways can we get into contact?
Pro mentors. Pro mentors. They don't check email.
They don't.
Mentees. Pros live and die by their email.
They
because
do.
Remember those people they don't get along with called I'm customers again? These other folks in their lives who are emailing them and they have 400 emails they have to get through today. So 9 times out of 10, Shayla and I get this and we're like, I emailed them. Like, good. Did you text them? And the pro mentor is like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Text them.
Yeah.
You know, or the mentee says, yeah, I texted my pro mentor. I didn't hear from him. That's because they came up as anonymous.
Yeah.
Or, by the way, mentee, if they called you and you have that voicemail set up, and I talked about this on another show, especially if you're a business student looking for a job or an internship and you have the no voicemail capability, this person's voicemail box is full.
Mm.
Ooh, that irritates people who have jobs to give. You need to turn that on.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you need to start sorting through your voicemails or answer every single call you get, especially if you just applied for an internship or a job.
Yeah.
Or if somebody from the university is calling you. I may have something I need to tell you, or I might have a special event. Every once in a while, Shayla and I get cool tickets to cool stuff.
We do.
And we call people up and say, hey, you want to go to this thing?
Mm-hmm.
So method of communication, Shayla, it's nailing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And keep trying.
Yes.
I mean, if you email once or even twice and you're like, oh, I haven't gotten anything back. Like, I mean, Jerry said it earlier. Like, maybe they got embarrassed, they forgot, or they got embarrassed, or they checked it so late and they're like, oh man, I missed this. And now, or the beginning of school year. I mean, it's chaos and exciting. And there's so many things that you can be a part of. And it's like tons of opportunities for squirrel moments. So just keep trying, keep plugging away, try different ways to communicate. And don't give up.
Don't give up.
All right. Follow-up question. When is it time to reach out?
When is it time to give up?
Yeah. When do you reach out to us, to SMP, regarding your mentorship partner?
I would say once you've established several attempts at contact, right? So you've tried at least, you know, an alternate form of contact, and time is important. And I would say, you know, you haven't heard anything. It's been a several weeks. You've emailed, you've called. Mm-hmm. There's an old school one.
Yeah.
Pick up the phone, call. You texted, you juniors and seniors to freshman, sophomore, you've stalked them on Snapchat or whatever. You start sending them snaps, whatever. And you don't respond. Then reach out to Shale or I, or email smp@gvsu.edu. If you get really technical, you can use your Zoom account. You can actually chat us in Zoom. If you go to search and team chat, look for us or look for SMP. Give us a call to the office. Or if you're at Seedman, you know what's really fun? We have an awesome office.
Yeah.
Come by our office, eat our candy, look at the cool stuff in our office, and have a conversation. We welcome that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do the same things you did, just from our level, and try to find out. And if it's irrevocable or it's just different, or the person decides to withdraw and you're willing to withdraw anytime you want, we just ask that you let us know. We can repair you if that becomes necessary. We use it as a last resort, and it's not a pick somebody till I like somebody necessarily. Going back to what you said earlier, Shayla, about we have to learn to work with people we don't always choose.
Mm-hmm.
So super important.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, it's my turn.
It's your turn.
Shayla, your question is, how do I share difficult feedback to me mentorship partner? That's how it's written. Me mentorship partner. I'm reading.
I wrote that, so that's on me.
How do I share difficult feedback to me mentorship partner? You were just what thinking nautically.
Yeah. That's it.
To me mentorship partner.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, I wish I could say that was on purpose. It was not. Similar to the curiosity thing, another thing I love regarding being in relationship with people is the mirror effect. And the mirror is something where you want to, it's almost like you holding up a mirror and allowing the other person an opportunity to see themselves clearly. And the way to do this well is, you know, not out of anger or frustration or, you know, big put downs or anything like that, but being able to say things like, I'm experiencing you as blank, or, you know, we talked about the flaky thing earlier, or the non-responsive, like, I'm experiencing you as disinterested in this mentorship relationship. In being able to share difficult things. It's another muscle to learn to flex. It's another tool that is so important within life. And that's with personal relationships or job relationships or anything. So I really love that idea of being able to, and it's honestly, it's kind and loving to give somebody an opportunity to see how they come across and how people are experiencing them. Because if you never tell someone, they don't have an opportunity to do anything about it either. They don't have an opportunity to grow and to learn. And it may be hard, and it may hit them hard. And you can do that sandwich thing again, like I said earlier, of like, I'm really enjoying this, but I've, you know, when this happens, I feel blank. That's another great way to start a sentence. Because you're expressing to them how a situation is making you feel versus a direct, you are being flaky or argumentative or whatever word you want to fill in there. It's a softer way to provide clear feedback with somebody without knocking them in the teeth while you're doing it.
Unlike a former boss that I once heard say, giving feedback, do you want to work here anymore? And you're like, what?
Yeah.
Well, because of this, and this leads me to believe you don't want to work here anymore. So, yeah. And for those of you who play my role-playing game, Mentors and Moments, this is a social script that's in there, like a card you can play. Let's help you leave. Let's help, or that's the nuclear option. Let's help you find what it is you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not advocating that route. I'm telling you, defense against the dark business arts, when your boss says that, this is what this means. And what Shayla said is progressive and important. And you don't always get to quit connections or relationships. And you'll often find that if you put the time in to do that, even if it doesn't work out, you win because you sleep better at night because you did the thing that you said you were going to do. Mm-hmm. Shayla's compliment sandwich also being about you, you know, this is important to me. I signed up for this. I really want to be a part of this. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Because my experience has been, I want to meet, I want to do these things, and maybe I'm doing it incorrectly. Help me understand. I'm curious to know, mm-hmm. use Shayla's word, I'm curious mm-hmm. to know, what is it you want out of this, and how do we make this work? I want to make this work, right? I think those are the key things mm-hmm. for that. The other, it's too long of a story. I can't tell the story. Ask me sometime about learning Japanese, and I'll talk about how the Japanese are indirect, which didn't work very well for me. But it boils down to when my Japanese teacher, who was basically the Mr. Miyagi of Grand Rapids, if you haven't seen Karate Kid, Akehi Sensei would say, "Jerry-san, translate the following sentences into Japanese." Hai. He'd say, "Studying Japanese every day is important." Translate, yep. Mainichi nihongo o renshu shimasu, right. Then he'd say, "The key to studying Japanese is to do my homework." And then every day you will write, you know, your katakana. Otherwise you will not speak good Japanese, like, because I wasn't doing my homework, right? And he was, you know, hammering me with these, this is what you're supposed to do. And sometimes I'll have a mentee who's, they want the new job or they want the thing or whatever, and they have no plan for it. And you earn the right to have the conversation to say, "I don't know what you want because you just listed 72 things here. Can we take one of these and take it to fruition?" Mm-hmm. Or in the business school, you're going to learn the 5 whys model. I want to be rich. Why? Because being rich is cool. Why? Because name celebrity does that. Why? So they can be rich. Why? And you go through this, and it's just an exercise. I'm not expecting you to reach existential, you know, like nirvana here. Mm-hmm. And become a guru, but having these conversations is super important. And the times in my life when I really moved forward with a mentor is when they told me, "Hey Jerry, this is what's going. This is the perception of you, or this is what I hear." And like it or not, perception becomes people's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So you're marketing yourself in this way. Is this what you want?
Mm-hmm.
Many of our guests on this very show, Troy Farley, has a great story from the Career Center as we sit in his studio. Has a story about that where he got into trouble and he was brought before the disciplinary board of Grand Valley, and they could have threw him out of school, but they didn't. They said, "You know, Troy, where do you want to be?"
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing, this is a softer version of, do you want to work here anymore? You mm-hmm. still want to go to school here anymore? What you're doing does not lead to that path. Andy Beach now, guest this season. That was his mantra, you know, of students first. This is where I see you going. This is, the train's running on a track and about to go off this cliff. Is that what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, great. Now you have agency. And I'm okay with people making decisions as long as they know they're making that decision. But sometimes we're doing small things that we don't realize are affecting us in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Love it. The thing I'll add to that is, if you're anything like I was, I'm not this way anymore as much, but very conflict avoidant. I mean, I used to be terrified to bring up anything I didn't like because I was so afraid of hurting someone's feelings. So the idea of sitting across from someone who I have to see again at some point and say something that may hurt them. I mean, I would probably physically be shaking, but just because something's hard doesn't mean it's not worth doing. And I'm definitely better at it now. I still don't like it, but if that's you, like, it's okay to be afraid of that situation. Write it down if you need to. Read it. It is okay to practice that and not be great at it. But you're never going to get great at it or even good at it if you don't step into it. So take some I don't know. I was going to say a courage. I don't know. Not liquid courage. Don't do that. But build up some courage and sit down. And it's a great skill and tool to learn and have.
Awesome. Whose turn is it?
I think it's yours.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
Final card.
We do these things live. It's not like I go back and yeah. Read it, so we're doing it live.
All right. Okay, Jerry.
Yes.
As a mentee or someone being mentored,
mm-hmm.
How can I lead the mentorship?
I love this question. It's a great question. Mm-hmm. This goes back to the great Phil Simms, who was on the show, and he and I helped develop the what I call the introverted equation of mentorship. So the equation is what I want multiplied by what they have or what they appear to have, is that equal to or greater than the energy required to connect? So we do an exercise live at least once a year, oftentimes twice a year, sometimes three times a year, called life crafting. Mm-hmm. And life crafting is an exercise that we developed that just basically has you sit down with yourself and say, what do I want my life to be like in the future? So the two sides of the mentorship equation I just said, what I have and what they appear to have, you can strengthen either one of these and make the mentorship more valuable to both parties. By strengthening it, I mean you're coming to the table with some idea of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take that side of the equation. So if in the future, and I said this earlier, and I do this with students, especially freshmen, and they say they want to be rich. Cool. What does that look like? Well, I want a cool car. What's a cool car? And then they say something like the new Bronco, which I hate the new Bronco, but that's the, whatever.
Fine.
The Bronco okay. was the thing that we, you know, drove for fun on the four-wheeled track, not this thing that looks like a plastic Tinker toy. But okay, I'll leave the Bronco alone. Why do you want, you know, what about the Bronco? What color do you want? What's the interior like? And then what happens is you're going to be walking around campus and you're going to see somebody roll up in a Bronco. You have something to talk about now. You're open to be like, you know what? I always wanted one of these cars. And Shayla, we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, this happened to me. Bucket list thing I've always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I told the universe enough times that I want it. I walked into a situation where somebody's like, oh, we have that. We'll let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know what you want, you're going to go to that first mentoring meeting and go, I don't know what I want. That's okay too. I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of a mentorship. That's okay too. So the other side is what they appear to have. So if your mentorship partner comes in and introduces themselves as the VP of a major bank, wow, what is that like? Does that interest you at all? You know? Maybe I want to be a vice president someday, maybe not of a bank, or maybe I would like to do business with a bank in the future. What do they have? Maybe they have they pull up in the Bronco. Hey, you got how did you get the Bronco? I want to get a Bronco. And that leads to a mentoring conversation. So mm-hmm. The way to control this is to come with either admission of, I don't know what I'm doing, but I have an idea. So maybe you don't know how mentoring works. That's okay. If you don't know what you want out of your life, that's not okay, because that's an agency thing.
Mm.
So I tell freshmen all the time, I tell seniors this all the time, graduate seniors, you're driving the bus.
Mm-hmm.
The bus is life. You're driving the bus now. Stop letting other people drive your bus.
Mm-hmm.
You drive the bus now. And where the bus is going to go, I'm just asking you in life crafting, where is it going to be in the future? When the bus gets to its ultimate destination and you get out, what is your life like?
Mm-hmm.
Do you live in the city or the country? Is it in the U.S. or abroad? And if you sit down 5 minutes every day and you turn off your phone and you journal, write, speak into a microphone, I don't care what it is, and start thinking about what your experience of life is going to be, it's going to develop questions, and your mentor would love to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
Many of my students say they want to be rich, and I said, have you ever talked to somebody who's rich? I know some people who are very wealthy. They're not any happier than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So there's another personal belief, there's some other point of happiness that isn't always interrelated with money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you strengthen that side of the equation, the other piece of it is, if you've done that, now coming, and if I've already said I'm a platonic based mentor, I want to tell stories and learn about you, but if you come to me and say, I have this dream and I need to know what steps I need to get because my dream is a tan Ford Bronco so I can roll around campus. great. You've also tickled me because you told me a story. Mm-hmm. I know why we're doing what we're doing now. Mm-hmm. Right. So now I can help you develop your dream of what is a car payment for somebody your age? What is an insurance payment? How much money? What's an interest rate? How's it work? And how much of my, you know, now how many hours do I have to work to make this thing do whatever it is I want to do? Mm-hmm. It was a very long answer, but I really like that question.
I do too. Well, and it's a great plug for Life Crafting of answering your why. I think it's a great event to go to with your mentorship partner this year. Yeah, I think that's all great. Honestly, I kind of love that this question is last too, because so many of the things, I mean, really everything we're talking about, it doesn't just apply to the mentor. It applies to the one being mentored too, of taking ownership of communication, of being able to have these conversations and all that. So, all right, follow-up question. What are some creative ideas to connect with each other?
Wow. One of my favorite, and I'm talking from the pro mentor, and I overlooked this when I was mentoring. Many of my mentees, I sat on the mountain with them and I shared these great pearls of wisdom. And then I'll go back and I ask them, you know, what's the thing that was really impactful? Oh, when you took me to the office. What? Yeah, you took me to the office, we had coffee, and you showed me where the corporate bathroom is and where, you know, like the big wig sat. And I'm like, what? Just because you go there every day, pro mentor, just because you had all these jobs growing up, that's not the typical experience of most people today. Mm-hmm. So your mentee probably would love to go to your workplace. Mm-hmm. And I was on the road sales a lot. So it, there was an office part, but then I was out seeing customers or whatever and seeing what it was we did. And that was, you know, I was like, well, what about all these other things we did? It was so
great.
You didn't
write down that cool thing I said and put it on your wall?
Remember, you know, Japanese classes, guy at the Ferrari on the mountain. No, nothing, because we went to the office. Yeah, so it's some of those simple things of giving them a tour of your life and mm-hmm. kind of what you do on a professional basis. That's super cool. I also, all these things that you don't want to do as a pro mentor, right? So, everybody's about to learn or learn that I'm trying to abolish the word networking. I don't like networking anymore. There's better things to do than network. So you get invited to that thing you don't want to go to. Talked about this the other week too, that led mm-hmm. to the thing that me get to do my bucket list mm-hmm. stuff is I went to something I didn't want to go to and I met some people. So that thing you don't want to go to, bring your mentee along. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we talked earlier about establishing, you know, safe space and conduct. So let that mentee have agency to get there. But Grand Valley alumni events are awesome for this. Not to say I don't love alumni events, but it's maybe not the highest thing on my priority list mm-hmm. for the week. But bring your mentee and then riff about it. Have a good time. We go to, my mentees and I often go to the Sekia Breakfast Lectures. Mm-hmm. I've heard probably almost every great speaker in the national stage at some point. But then I go to the mentee and be like, well, what did you think of that? Mm-hmm. Can you, you know, why do you think they said this or that? What are we trying to promote here? What did you hear? And you get to see it through their eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of fun. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think those are all fantastic ideas because it definitely does bring a new energy to something that otherwise maybe doesn't have much for you. But I definitely think there's lots of events, not just within Seedman Mentorship Program throughout the year, but within Grand Valley, any sporting events or anything like that. Like those are great, easy kind of softball ideas of like, hey, is there a sport you like? Do you want to go hit up a game? Like, great, support the student athletes, go to a game, cheer them on. Other creative ideas are, I mean, Jerry, you had talked about this earlier as far as like, I'm at a coffee shop at 9 a.m. on Tuesdays, show up. I mean, the same thing can be like, I study at, you know, the library at, you know, this time every week. You can just come and study with me. This is a very, like, a neutral, simple way to be in relationship together, but no, there's no pressure there. I mean, if you find a hobby that you find out that they like, if you're willing to, you know, throw that out, hey, you really like origami. Would you show me how? Or, hey, I heard there's an origami event, They're like, do you want to go to it? There's lots of like kind of easy creative ideas if it takes a little effort, but there's really tons of ideas to be able to throw out with your mentorship partner to just enjoy some fun together. And then often great conversation can come from that.
I love that. And let me step, I was talking in the pro space. Let me step into the peer space. You know, you're the peer mentor. You're a junior senior student. My guess is, you know, somebody else that's in the program, buddy up.
Yeah.
And say, hey, let's bring our mentees and let's go to the Secchia breakfast lecture. Super easy. Also, you have a network that you have not thought of. Mm-hmm. You know professors. Who's your favorite prof? Take your mentee. Let me back up. Take your mentee and put them on the Laker line and ride with them down to Seidman. They haven't done it. And then show them that they're 10-minute walk from downtown Grand Rapids. And you have all of Grand Rapids at your disposal.
Yeah.
In addition to, yeah, you can live in Allendale the entire freshman year and never leave the north end of campus, right? And your world is very small. And it's by design to make it easy. Mm-hmm. But you can expand, you can blow their mind on all the places you can ride the Laker line. Go meet your favorite professor at their office hours. Introduce them so that they can, if they say they're interested in marketing, go see Professor Kevin Leonard, take them along. Mm-hmm. And you guys can become those partners I was talking about earlier. It's easier to do things together.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, we were challenged by the captain to come in and see you. So here we are. And he'll be tickled by that. And then ask him to spin some tunes on his turntable and check out his, you know, his toy collection. It's amazing. great guy. You also, junior, senior student, you here at Seidman, my guess is, because I think 90% of you are in a club. Mm-hmm. You're a professional club or you're in a fraternity, sorority. I almost combined those two words there for a minute. I was thinking about the Alpha Beta Whoopity House again. But, you're in the Society for Human Resources Management. You're in SHRM. You're in Women in Business. You're in IPO. You're in one of these other clubs. You go to club meetings. Bring your mentee. Hey, it's down here at Seidman. Again, they have agency. They can come, whatever. Or I'll meet you in Allendale. We'll ride down together on the bus. We go to this meeting, and then they get an introduction to that. Campus Life Night. Campus Life Night. You don't go anymore because you're a junior. You got everything figured out. You don't need a new club in your life. But your student does, and they're there. Or you're manning your table. Did you invite your mentee to be like, hey, and I realize we don't always have the pairings out in time for that, but we certainly do by Campus Life Night 2, where everybody thinks they've got everything figured out and nobody wants a new club. But chances are, maybe you should walk through that together. Or sporting events like Shayla was talking about. Great way to kind of get the Grand Valley experience. You know, where's your favorite study space? How did you survive freshman year? They want to know those things. They want to understand that. They don't know that there's a tunnel, a hidden tunnel between Mackinac and Manitou. All right. But I do. And they want to know where that is, right? They haven't seen the great study space that is the Seidman House. They haven't sat in the 70s sunken living room. They haven't gone over and talked to the archivist to look at the secret archive we have over there of things they won't let you touch because they're precious, you know, historical artifacts. Do those things. Or everything I just said, I believe, is in the SMP handbook under Great Ideas. So here's a wild idea. Do the stuff that we spent a lot of time developing. Go out to the resources tab. Yeah, and open up your handbook. And we list like Bitter End Coffee Shop, Midnight Express. And we talk about these places. And in there is that whole script of what do I say in my first meeting with my mentee? Mm-hmm. All the stuff I just said is covered in way, shape, and form in that handbook.
Yeah. Great. Good ideas.
What else?
I think those are all our
closing thoughts then. Wrap us up. Take us home. Dock this thing.
Well, I think with everything, no matter where you are and no matter what time of year it is, I like what you said about, was it Professor Kevin
Leonard, yeah.
Who just sometimes scrap it and start over. That's always an option. No matter what time of year it is, you can always try again. It could be March. You can be getting ready to graduate. All of these things can be applicable. You can always jump in and have a great end of the year relationship with your mentorship partner.
Shayla, it's an honor to have you on the show, and thank you for the work that you do. And I get to see it all the time, and people don't see you behind the scenes, but I know about your passion for good humans is kind of what our theme has been. As you and I talk in the office about this, is I know that you're dedicated to developing good people, regardless of what your major is, what you study, what your degree is when you graduate Grand Valley, what you go do, whatever that is. We're hoping to give you these human skills. That's mm-hmm. that's what the mentorship program was designed to address. We already know how to teach you accounting, HR, and the other disciplines at Grand Valley. No matter what of those things you do, you're going to need, and I think you will enjoy. Part of being a good human is having great interactions with mm-hmm. other humans.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is the heart of mentoring. And you bring that and that passion and your extremely busy schedule to give some time to the CB Mentorship Program. And we certainly do appreciate you.
Thanks, Jerry. It was great to be here today.
It was an honor to have you.
Thank you for sailing along on this episode of the CB Mentorship Podcast. For more information on the Seidman College of Business Mentorship Program at Grand Valley State University, look us up on your favorite search engine. If you have a story to tell, know someone we should interview, have questions or comments, please email us at smp@gvsu.edu. Until next time, keep a weathered eye on the horizon, and we wish you fair winds. So long.